I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent Breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 382, Deadpool 2.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. No subtitle.
Nope.
Good for them.
That's the way to do it.
Keep it clean.
Well.
Keep it streamlined.
That's very good.
How about that?
Yeah.
Yes. So before we get too far afield, let's go around the table and everyone can introduce themselves.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Just real quick, shameless plugs. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. It helps us tremendously. And what else helps us tremendously is patreon.com/realspoilers. You can go there, sign up for $5 a month and get all sorts of extra content.
We're not taking anything away.
No, nothing's
everything
going.
Stays
everything
the
you've
same.
Been getting, you still get.
We're just adding some stuff.
Extra stuff.
That's right. That's very sly.
Oh, what the word in
there?
It's what the word bonus means.
Well, I just want
to very stealthy to get that.
Yeah,
it freaks people out a little bit.
I feel like I'm watching Channel 9.
Yeah, you'll get a tote
so
bag.
So, can I tell you that my best friend growing up, his dad was on Channel 9. Like he was the guy. That,
oh, really?
Yeah, Will Shaw.
Yeah,
was my best friend's dad.
How about that?
There it is.
Well, yeah. So there. Now that we've got all that out of the way, Deadpool 2.
So I will say. Comic book wise, I am not a huge Deadpool fan. I think he's oversaturated. I think he's used way too often and not sparingly enough.
A little goes a long way.
It does. And I think it takes a special writer to get his tone correct.
That's the real problem, is that he needs to be funny. And if you're not funny, there's nothing worse than trying to be funny and failing.
Yeah.
And if you've listened to this show very long, you understand that.
It's a burden I must carry on myself.
But yeah, so it's like it's very difficult because people want him to, you know, be a wisecracking fool. But if you're not funny, then it gets painful real fast.
Yeah.
So that's why you get like Brian Posehn to write it.
Posehn and Jerry Duggan is referenced in this movie.
Yeah.
I think Rick Remender had a great take on him, but he was also on a team, like it was a team book, so he was used sparingly.
Right.
Joe Kelly, who gives, I know Rob Liefeld created him. Joe Kelly is the guy that gave him the Ryan Reynolds voice. Like Ryan Reynolds leans into the Joe Kelly dialogue.
Right.
Those are the guys that I think write him the best. And Ryan Reynolds, we've said before that there are, like, Chris Reeves was a perfect Superman. Chris Evans was a perfect Captain America.
I thought you were going to say Human Torch.
I would never say that.
Oh.
So, you know, there was a scene that they didn't shoot where they're fixing the timeline.
Oh yeah.
And Deadpool shoots Chris Evans while he has the Fantastic Four script that they didn't do.
That's
But I feel like Ryan Reynolds was made to be Deadpool.
Yeah.
Like
it's so perfect with, I mean, I'm talking about way back to Van Wilder. Like everything you know about Ryan Reynolds and his
you
comedic
go back
sensibility.
Two guys, a girl in a pizza place.
Well, sure. But it's just like the early stuff, great. Though. It's not just his more recent stuff. It's like he leans into this character and is perfect for the role.
He is the, Hollywood version of Joe McHale.
Yeah.
Like, Joe McHale is that perfect smarmy asshole.
But you still kind of like him.
And Ryan Reynolds is exactly the same way. But he also has, like, this endearing quality. Like, I don't think Joe McHale has ever really been,
the nice guy. The ladies love Ryan.
Has he ever been, like, the nice guy?
They don't love Joe.
You see flashes of that in Community.
Yeah. But yeah. Ryan Reynolds has that ability to be the ladies' man,
yes,
and be, like, super cute.
Well, when you're, like, a supermodel.
That's also true. But the proposal is also a great example.
That's the reason why.
What was the one where
Josh Brolin's in this movie?
What was the reason? What was the one reason?
Because he loves the proposal. That's a true story.
Really?
He absolutely loves that movie that he was like, I love that movie.
30 minutes of that movie were great.
Yep.
And then it just really was
goes
like
off the rails.
But the first
when it's him and her,
yeah,
they're great.
Yeah.
And then you add everything.
Think
else
of Betty White.
It. That's true.
Did Betty White? What was you the, know, brought it back?
What was
up.
The one where he's
like Betty
telling
White, Lake Placid, man? I mean, that so movie. It's like I can only see that movie as just being amazing, but it's
it is
a lot. It's because.
What was the one where he's telling Abigail Breslin about who her mom is?
Yeah, I know the one.
But that was in the same boat. Yeah. Like, it was, he was leaning into that romantic comedy train for a minute.
Yeah.
So, this, I'm going to tell you right, I think they overdid it more so than the first one.
I disagree.
Oh, really? I love this movie.
I like this one. Definitely, maybe, is the movie you're talking about.
Yeah.
I actually like this movie better than the first one.
Really?
I thought the first movie, and I liked it, I felt sometimes like it was trying too hard.
I felt this one.
See, I felt the other way around. I felt the first one was, I felt like they thought they were only going to get one, so they were cramming as much stuff in there as they could. And I thought this one took a breath. I thought this one wasn't pushing it as hard, and I felt like in a good way. And I also felt like the action scenes were way better.
They were.
Directed by David Leitch.
Yeah.
There's no debate.
And the domino scene is better than the Quicksilver scene.
I don't know about that, but it was good.
I think showing her powers and how they worked, in my opinion, was better than the Quicksilver.
Her superpowers are basically Final Destination.
Yeah. Basically.
Yeah. There's a lot of this movie that I like better, but I definitely was at a like...
It was exhausting a bit.
I was at my threshold.
See, I felt more that way with the first one, although I do think this movie should have been about 15 minutes shorter.
And I really liked it, though. I think the consensus is I think we all like it.
I thought it was
very funny. We all liked the movie, but yeah, I think the first was a better movie. I was surprised with how much they pushed this one, that they were also able to hit emotional beats, though, at times, which I thought were well done. Mm-hmm. Like, you kept waiting for the other shoe to drop. Like, where's the joke? But it's like, no, they were actually going for emotional beats in this, and it's like, wow, they were actually really well done.
Were they playing I'm All Out of Love? Were they playing that in the beginning of this movie?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so that's the song in Van Wilder that he's singing when Tara Reid dumps him.
Oh, really?
And I was just like, it didn't click until I left the theater. I was like, if they did that on purpose,
I'm sure
that's
they did.
Amazing.
I don't think anything gets past, especially with him having creative control.
Yeah.
It's like,
apparently he loves Air Supply. that's the right reaction.
Man,
All Out of Love is a good song.
Hooks a mile wide, great production, great vocals. Like, it might not be your thing, but it's well done.
I know. But I'm just like, no. There's just certain things that, like, there's certain things I look at in my own days where I'm like, certain things I'm embarrassed about, and certain things that I'm like, oh, that, you know, like, I will admit, you're not a Bowie fan, a huge Bowie fan, and I always hated the Let's Dance album, because for me that was like, what
really
happened?
Oh.
Yes, because all of a sudden he was like this like, you know, pop star.
Yeah.
And now I'm looking back and I'm like, that was dumb.
That was dumb, really stupid.
Yeah, it was totally stupid that I hated it. But I will not budge on my opinion of Air Supply, sir.
I think Modern Love is my favorite David Bowie
song. And I mean, honestly, it was only in the past few years where I've like come around and I'm like...
But China Girl, I know. Iggy Pop's
is better.
And even Let's Dance. Like,
it's one of those things. It's like, he just hated it so much at the time.
I get that. You were too punk rock.
Yes.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, that was dumb. But I'm sorry. Air Supply.
Yeah, so this one opens up with him in the full Deadpool gear laying on like barrels of what we assume to be gas or explosive liquid.
Kerosene or whatever it is.
And he's explaining like why he's here. And he's just like, freaking Wolverine. Like, if he can kill himself in his movie, I can do the same thing. And he blows it up, and it's just like a middle finger flies in the, you know, and we flash back to like 7 days prior, and he had Deadpool is no longer killing. Well, I guess he was always kind of killing bad guys.
Yeah.
He was
the
merc with the mouth, but he, well, in the comic books, he would just kill anybody that he was paid to kill. And in the movies, they're just like,
all right,
we should just say he killed
bad guys.
He's
not just a murderer in the movie. It's like he's,
right. So he's just going around killing bad guys in some great action sequences and good stuff.
It's funny. He's going from country to country.
Right. Just killing people. And he lets one guy get away because he has to meet up for his date with the smoking hot,
Marina Baccarin.
Mrs. James Gordon, apparently. Like, she's actually...
They do have a
two kids together.
They're
a couple, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
In the Gotham TV show.
No, in real life.
I know, TV show, the actor that plays Jim Gordon, and she is also...
Leslie Tompkins.
Yeah, Dr. Leslie Tompkins. And they, in real life, are married. That relationship broke up her marriage.
She was married,
and they got together, and I think they have two kids now.
He might be the worst Batman voice. He did the voice of the guy that is Jim Gordon on that show.
Oh, I didn't know he did a Batman
voice.
Did the voice
of Batman in Batman Year One.
Oh, yeah, I don't know that. I was really surprised.
With Bryan Cranston as Jim Gordon, like in that, which is perfect.
Yeah, that's great. I was really surprised Marina Baccarin was basically a cameo in this movie. I didn't know they were going to do like come film for one day.
I think she was filming Gotham.
Well, I don't doubt she's busy. I was surprised because I figured that we would see her popping in and out. I didn't know what the story was going to revolve around.
Sure.
So right from the get, when he's laying on those barrels, he's showing you pictures and it's like, oh, wow, she's gone. And that's why he's killing
himself. Well, see, now I took it as she left him. But we figure out in this scene that, so he lets this mobster go because he has to get home. Great scene where he's giving excuses as to why he's late.
Yeah.
They exchange gifts. He gives her like the token from their first skee ball date, which I think we see in the first one.
Yeah, I'm
I feel like
sure.
we probably do, because there's a lot. That first scene where they're doing the holidays is hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
I was waiting for
Women's Appreciation Month.
I was waiting for new holidays in this one, and that's because I thought she'd be around longer, and I was like, okay, we're going to get some new holidays.
I thought we were going to get the Who Had It Worse.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one I thought we were going to get. So he hears people in the hallway.
What does she give him?
She gives him the...
HPV.
IED. Yeah,
IUD. Yeah.
What's the bomb called?
He's like, IED.
IED. Yeah,
an improvised explosive device versus an uterine device.
And it's great because he's like, oh, this is the best. I have no idea what this is. But she's like, yeah, it's my birth control.
They want to have kids.
Yeah.
Mini Deadpools.
See, no one is if he had just tasted it.
Oh wow,
we got a maraca in Deadpool 2. Well,
Deadpool
done.
2 inside of the first 11 minutes.
That's impressive. We're
gonna do it, nice. But it's something we have to aspire to.
That's
good. Now, does anyone ever these are obviously comic books. I'm not saying this takes away from the movie or anything, but we like to have discussions about how things work. It's like, he's dead.
What do you mean?
Like, I mean, he's dead, right?
No.
He's not dead?
No.
He just has healing powers.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I thought...
So Deadpool's powers are Wolverine's. Like, he can't... So, like, they...
Okay.
He has a healing factor that I'm pretty sure is better than Wolverine's.
Why doesn't his face and stuff heal, then, if
because
he just has a healing...
Because he's constantly fighting the cancer. Like, the healing factor is constantly working to fight the cancer.
Oh, okay.
Now, if you read the Ed McGuinness, Joe Kelly, Spider-Man, Deadpool team-up book, like... Deadpool starts to become a good person.
Oh, and it clears up.
Like, he starts to look like Ryan Reynolds in the comic.
Interesting.
And then as his conscience kind of starts to dwindle, his face gets worse.
Okay. I always just kind of took him as a zombie.
It's like a mood ring.
Kind of, yeah. But no, his body is always fighting the cancer. That's why he looks like that.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, that makes more sense then. So that's why, because I'm like, how can they have kids? I'm like, what is he? Like, is he alive? Okay, that's... Okay.
Yeah, he's a mutant.
Cool.
That's, you know.
Okay.
I think he's Weapon 11.
Yeah.
Which we get into later in this movie, which was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they break in and he does the Deadpool thing. He thinks he's killed everybody. And then he throws like the butter cutter or whatever.
He thinks
like
he's taking
spreader.
Everyone out.
Cheese spreader. That's what it was.
Thank God I don't have to use the spreader, but then.
And he misses and they shoot his girl. They shoot Vanessa?
Yeah.
No.
Vanessa. Right? Yeah. Vanessa.
Did he miss or he hit but like redirected it and it.
Yeah. Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
He blocks the bullet, but because he blocks the bullet, it hits her instead. And then he goes and kind of like into a tailspin, basically, where like.
A DuckTales spinoff?
Nope.
Oh.
Nope. That's coming on the Disney Channel.
Yes, it is.
We get reintroduced to the X-Men, like Colossus kind of shows back up.
Great cameo.
Best version of Colossus ever.
But great cameo by the X-Men. I thought that was good. Clearly they were filming Dark Phoenix or whatever.
Or they just showed up for a day.
No.
That was on a different set.
They were on set.
Yeah, they just
green screened them in.
Hilarious.
They shot that scene.
Clearly they were filming their new movie and they were like, yeah, let's film us sitting in this room.
It was funny.
I do like that he's in the wheelchair. Yeah. Like Professor X's wheelchair just wheeling around doing his thing.
He's in his depression and Colossus.
Yeah, he's like, you're my friend. We'll bring you on. It's fine. Yeah.
I love the cameo in that it's funny and the whole meta aspect, but also within the continuity of the story, it explains
why they aren't around.
Why they're never there. Like, because they are there.
They want nothing to do with
it. They're just hiding. Shut that door.
I thought that was brilliant.
Because they do. They reference it in the first one where he's just like, you're in this big house and there's only three of you here. Fox couldn't shell out the extra money to get like Beast or something.
Right. It's like, because it's the B list or whatever, you know, and you've got these two characters that aren't as popular. But in this one, he does the same thing, and which is great because before you see them, you're like, yes, this is the joke. There's an empty mansion with no X-Men around it.
Right.
But you see the entire like current, the Days of Future Past, Apocalypse, the whole team is in there. Now, this is a question that I had. What does this mean for the timeline? Because they're in the 90s.
That's a great question.
It's the current team, which Apocalypse was 80s.
Yeah.
And now Dark Phoenix is going to be in the 90s, and it's the Dark Phoenix / Apocalypse team. That would mean that they're setting Deadpool in the past.
It could. But I mean, like, now you've got Cable, so it's just like, who knows?
But he's a time traveler.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we know that time travel is a thing.
But they have cell phones and stuff.
But they're not. Yeah,
so
but
that's true.
Yeah, so they can't.
Yeah.
So. I think what it means is that's the cast they could get without having to pay extra.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a funny cameo.
Do you think they had to pay Hugh Jackman?
Well, that was just recycled footage, wasn't it?
Yeah, but he's still in the movie, right?
He probably gets some sort of residual.
All right.
I bet you they cut him some sort of check just to keep him happy.
Yeah,
because I mean, remember, there's the whole Crispin Glover lawsuit from
that's very true.
You know, and so I think that he's got to be receiving something.
Right. But also, if they're friends, which clearly they have a good relationship together, and Ryan Reynolds is like, can we just use this clip of you? Like, I have a feeling Hugh Jackman as the cool guy he is.
Well, and it's also from the bad one.
So
it's not like it's from the two good ones. Yeah.
I'm not doubting he got a little something, but he's also doing Ryan Reynolds a favor to make his movie better.
He probably still got something, but he probably also took the least amount of money he can without upsetting the union.
Sure. That makes sense. So... Colossus is kind of like, you can just join us.
Yeah, he's trying to convince him.
You can be an X-Man. Yeah, he's like, all right, fine. And this is actually where we find out that Negasonic Teenage Warhead is a lesbian, and she's got her girlfriend.
We didn't know that in the first one?
No, she was just a girl.
Yeah, I thought we knew that.
But... I think she was just there.
Yeah.
And I think her and him and Yukio was great.
Yeah.
Where he's just like, hi. He's like, hi, Yukio.
Is that supposed to be the one from...
I don't think Wolver- so.
Okay, because I'm like...
Because, no.
It's not the main character from the Wolverine.
No.
Okay.
I do think it's funny that they gave her the same name.
Yeah, well, Yuki, is it Yukio or Yuki in
Yukio
the Wolverine?
Yukio in the Wolverine.
Okay, because I'm like...
Actually, I think it's Yutiko. Okay. There's two.
Okay.
So there's the gal that's like the love interest, and then there's the gal who's like his partner.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out. I'm like, is this a reference to the Wolverine? I was trying to figure out if that was a crossover for that character, but
no,
it was very
purple
funny.
Hair.
Well, but it was funny how he was just always like, hi.
Yeah, she's like, hi.
Hi, Wade. Hi, Yukio. The whole movie. It's just doesn't do anything but say hi, Wade.
Right. And now, so we go and they're on a mission, and Deadpool is wearing like the training jersey over his uniform, like the yellow X-Men training jersey.
Which is from a comic.
Where he tries to join the X-Men. He's wearing like... But also, there is a pretty iconic X-Men suit that was like... They got rid of everything. Everybody was yellow and blue. Mm. Like if you... I think it's the Jim Lee stuff where they're all wearing like weird yellow and blue costumes. Which they kind of... Like Negasonic Teenage Warhead is wearing one very similar to that suit. And we're introduced to this... Who I thought initially was going to be... So there's a character called Pyro in the X-Men. And he's Australian. And obviously he controls fire. That's who I thought this kid was.
He was an X-2.
He was an X-2?
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Yeah.
This kid was an X-2?
No, Pyro.
Oh, yeah, yeah, right, right, right. He's, yeah.
This is supposed to be Yukio.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Hmm. Oh.
From the Wolverine comics. And it says that in the film, she seems to be an amalgam of Yukio and Surge, utilizing electrical abilities.
Yeah.
Much of her dialogue consists of High Wade. But yeah, so it is supposed to be the same
character.
He
calls her Yukio.
He does, but
we just questioned if it was the same.
Oh, gotcha.
Technically the same, but yeah, so it
is. Which is weird because she becomes Lady Deathstrike.
Right?
Like in the comics. She becomes... Well... Yeah. Right, I'm just saying, like, that's, I mean, but Lady Deathstrike is,
I don't
like,
think Fox is quite as cognizant,
yeah, that's
of
probably true.
What is,
I mean, we just mentioned
they
showed a cast from the 90s, and this is clearly supposed to take place in 2018.
Right, yeah,
so
right, right.
They're not
I think
following.
Fox is just like, we're...
Yeah, man, you guys just do your thing.
This is
they're just trying.
I mean, this is breaking the fourth wall constantly.
Movie.
It's meta. Yeah. They reference comics. They actually reference comic issues.
Yep.
They
comic
reference
artists.
They reference Marvel. Yes. Uh-huh. I mean, so clearly it's like a Family Guy cutaway. Like, you don't have to make sense of it. It's just there for the
it's just
comedic
there for fun.
Reference. Yeah.
Right. So they go, and this kid is the Essex House, which is Mr. Sinister, and we see the Essex Corporation in. Right. Wolverine,
the last
one,
the
of
the Wolverine.
No, it's one. I think it's the X-Men movie.
Okay,
yeah, the last, the last one,
Apocalypse.
It was
in
the post-credit sequence,
right? Yeah. So I'm assuming that this guy is supposed to be Mr. Sinister. Who knows?
No,
and this is the kid from Hunt for the Wilder People, right?
Yes, yes, it is.
I did not know he was in this movie. Like, again, I'd stay away from all the trailers and everything, and I'm like, what? The Hunt for the Wilder People kid is the villain of this movie?
Yes.
Like, that's crazy.
And he's had enough. Like, they're torturing these kids in the Essex house.
Like, they're like, this is a religious type of, like, you know.
It's kind of like a Purifiers, which is like a mutant-hating group. Yeah. And
right.
then
God
Mr.
doesn't
Sinister.
Want you to be right, a right, mutant right. type of thing. It's...
So he and the kid is just losing it, and he's burning everything. And finally, the X-Men show up, and it's not working. So Wade tries talking to the kid. And that goes poorly because obviously it's Deadpool and that wasn't going to work. And then I think, does he kill the cops?
He kills one of the
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
But he instantly wants to rush in and like start killing the kid. And then Klaus is like, no, we
soft
don't kill.
Approach. Yeah. Soft approach.
But yeah, the kid, they put the collar on him that takes away all his mutant powers. Mm-hmm. And he's like, do they hurt you? And the kid is emotional.
Like
and he's like, yeah, they all abused me. And so he looks at him and he calls out that they look like pedophiles, these attendants. And so he shoots him right in front of the cops and everything. And I like this because at first I'm like, how is he going to get away with this? He murdered someone. Like, you know, I mean, for as much stuff as they do, it's like the cops are there and Wade murders someone without evidence or a trial or whatever. And so I thought, that's crazy. But no, they put the collar on him and take him to this special jail for mutants.
They
so
take
like,
both,
So I like how they did that. It wasn't just a cheap, like, you know, oh, that's funny. And then he...
Well, I also appreciate that his cancer kicks in.
Yeah.
Like, he's super sick because it's a mutant
factor.
Dampener.
Yeah.
A power dampener. I do like that Black Tom Cassidy is in this. He's one of my favorite X-Men villains. But, like, just the fact that he's in the movie and...
And the fact they play up that joke over and over that you're racist for killing him, like... So good. I mean, this is a very funny movie.
It's very funny. So, like, what we said about the first one is the jokes were coming so fast that you didn't get a chance... When you think one doesn't hit, the next one behind it will make up for it. I felt like that was the same way with this one, except... The misses were more frequent.
See, I felt the opposite.
Interesting.
I felt that it had fewer total jokes.
Yeah.
But I felt like its hit ratio was stronger for
me. Okay. And I also think that the shots at DC got a little old.
Like, it never gets old to me.
No, they have every right to take all the shots they want, but it was just like.
The Martha joke was gold. Martha joke was gold that he
and making fun of the mustache was good. Yeah. But then I was like, okay, here comes the one about it being super dark and dreary. I got it.
Yeah, I enjoyed all those jokes. I didn't think it was too bad. But yeah, it was funny to see them. I mean, that's the type of meta humor you expect from Deadpool.
Looking at the camera. Yeah, like,
he's referencing Marvel, but also DC, which is great.
Yes. And he calls Josh Brolin
Thanos.
That was good. I was surprised because they're so close together and he's playing a different character. I didn't expect that one, and I appreciated that. That was good. Like, nothing No one was safe. There were no rules here. I mean, they reference everything. Again, like them referencing comic book issue numbers, like I never thought they would go that meta because it's like these are characters in a movie and they're referencing the issues that they're in. But they do. Like nothing is off limits.
I mean, that's what I appreciate about these two movies are just like, we know who's going to see this movie. Just give them what they want.
Yeah. They get the character. They're like when we talk about movies not understanding the character. So again, I'm sorry, but DC and Zack Snyder understanding Batman, right? And then they have him killing people and blowing people up and his motivations, they just don't work. It's like here, Ryan Reynolds and the writers get Deadpool and this movie is exactly what you expect.
I agree. So we jump to the future and we see James Brolin, his dad, apparently. Mm-hmm. Josh Brolin is getting, you know, he's doing the Cable and he looks awesome as Cable. Like that's when he was
as
cast,
soon as he comes on screen I'm like that he is Cable. Badass though.
It's funny that I didn't realize how short he was, and I do like they reference that he's much shorter than what Cable would actually look like.
But geez, he is jacked. Did you see the videos? Like all the superhero movies do it where they're training in the gym and they post it to Twitter or Instagram. Like he was jacked in the gym doing the exercise. In this movie, I mean, how old is this guy? 50 something?
He's got to be.
I mean,
I would think.
But
late
40s,
early
50s?
He's younger than
that? Not that old.
He's not. I mean, I didn't mean like late 50s, but I thought he's at least, late 40s, early 50s.
He's 50.
He's 50, okay. So like he is ripped. I mean, just like Hugh Jackman, like, man, you put the time in at the gym, like, he went above and beyond.
Yeah.
Getting that ripped from his role. Yeah.
So he jumps. He sees what's going on in the world. He jumps to our time now, and he runs into Matt Damon and
I had no idea these two guys were.
Was it Brad Pitt?
No. It's
Brad Pitt's Mr. Vanishing.
Firefly.
What's the
Nathan Fillion?
No. God, why can't I think of the guy's name? The blonde, Alan Tudyk. Yeah.
And Matt Damon.
I had no idea until a friend of the show, Brad Hyen, said, those two hillbillies are Matt Damon. And
I knew Alan Tudyk immediately. Alan Tudyk. Right. I did not realize it was Matt Damon at all.
Yeah, no. And remind me what they do, because I can't even remember.
They don't do like toilet paper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're just sitting there talking.
At the truck.
Yeah.
I had no idea who they were. That's funny.
So, yeah, Cable shows up. He takes their truck. And then he's off. He's going to do whatever he's going to do. We flash back to the prison, and Deadpool's super sick, dealing with this kid. This kid is like pulling out his prison wallet. Like he pulls.
That was really funny. The kid throws a pen in his prison wallet.
I do like that. He's just like, I don't want to pretend like I know what you're doing back there. Like this is awful.
He's like, this is how you get hepatitis or something. I mean, lots of jokes. So this whole time, this kid is like, we're going to take on the world. Like he sees Wade defending him and kill, like the kid didn't want anything to do with anybody, but when Wade shoots that attendant, they get that connection,
right?
And the kid is following him around like, we're gonna get these guys, we gotta fight the biggest guy in the jail. And Wade wants nothing to do with this kid.
What when I saw when they talk, he's like, the biggest guy in the jail is that down there.
Yeah.
And I was just like, well, who?
I had no idea who that was gonna be.
Who can they even put down there?
Yeah.
That, I mean, it has to be somebody. It's gonna be somebody.
Yeah. I was completely surprised by this.
Did not even click as to who was down in that.
Yeah. I like
cell.
When he's like, oh, he's down in the cell in the basement, and he's like foreshadowing.
Yeah, right. But yeah, like when they finally reveal who that was, and I was just like, yeah, that is perfect. Considering,
it's Juggernaut.
Yeah, it's Juggernaut. But it's not the Vinnie Jones Juggernaut. It's the comic book
the
version.
The comic book
was the Ryan Reynolds Juggernaut.
Yeah. Was that who?
That's Ryan Reynolds.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
And the mocap for the face.
That's hilarious. I didn't realize that.
Oh, in this movie it is.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to look. He has like big lips and a big head. I'm like, who is that under there? I couldn't quite figure.
Okay. Not Vinnie Jones.
Yeah.
But like
X-Men 3.
But if you watch the X-Men cartoon.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's that comic book looking like huge head, huge, not triangle, but like a dome shaped head. Like, it's ridiculous.
So initially since they're doing the X-Force thing.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be Strong Guy.
Okay.
And he kind of has that look from like the. Strong Guy is a character who can absorb kinetic energy and it makes him bigger and stronger.
Okay.
But he was on that Shatterstar, boom boom, that X-Force team.
This team was hilarious.
Who are all real characters.
Yeah. I love what they set up. And like it was almost, it reminded me of I think they almost were making fun of Suicide Squad. Where like
I don't think
the,
almost they were making fun.
They
of
They get
Suicide
the team
Squad.
Together, and then like yeah. with the Comanche guy or whatever that dies in the first sight. Like, but they do it to all of them.
All
I did
of them,
not
yeah.
see that coming. Where they spent 15 minutes building this team up,
right? Right,
and it goes horribly wrong in the next scene.
All...
Yeah, I thought the joke was going to be, was it Peter?
Yeah,
yes. I thought
yeah.
he was doing. I thought the joke was going to be as soon as they hit the ground, he was going to take a bullet to the yeah. head and be dead.
Because he's so all yeah, like basic yeah. and a normal person. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, he's
that
dead.
That was but... also somebody. The guy that played Peter is also a pretty famous comedian.
Yeah, I don't
like
know.
They did some makeup on him mm-hmm. to make him. Damn.
I don't. He's not as famous as Brad Pitt though. And the
oh
other
no,
characters.
Hell no. Yeah. Well, you don't see Brad Pitt.
You do.
Well, you do.
When he hits
the electric,
yeah, you
right,
see
right,
his
right.
face.
That's how you know it's Brad Pitt, because yeah. that's the funny reveal. But yeah, so yeah, he gets together this whole X-Force team. I really love at the end what they do with the outfit, the homage to the X-Force Deadpool outfit with the dirt and the
oh,
dust.
Oh, like, you mean the black and
yeah,
white? Yes.
Yeah, black yeah. and white, like how they made him black and white. That was great, but that's not till the very end.
No, not to the very end.
So what? So they're in jail, and so the
it's
kid...
It's Rob Delaney.
Oh, it's Rob Delaney.
Rob Delaney is Peter, but they... Put the mustache,
with the mustache
on him.
Yeah. Yes. I did not see Rob Delaney. Yeah, okay.
Jowls.
Right.
That's funny. I had yeah. no idea. But yeah, he was good. But so they're in the prison, and Cable comes. And you think that Cable's trying to kill Deadpool.
Nope. Trying to kill the
kid. He blows up their room, and they had just escaped out of the room, and then it blows up, and he's like, who is this trying to come for me?
Right.
And then Cable goes up there, but basically just pushes Deadpool aside and is yeah. like... To that kid, you're
right.
gonna die. Whatever, yeah. is, you know.
So there's a big,
like
Looper. Massive. It is like yeah. Looper. Massive fight ensues, and Deadpool is getting his ass kicked because he doesn't have his ability. Yeah. He is riddled with cancer. He holds his own for a little bit, and then Cable kind of knocks him yeah. off the
he
thing.
He falls off the top thing onto a table, well, like
breaks his back, and then breaks his neck, and then just so happens that the collar breaks off. And I do like where he's just like, his eyes pop open, and he was like, oh. I'm back yeah. and like stands up and everything.
Welcome back or hello superpowers.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. And
that's pretty awesome.
Back
it was a good fight with
very good.
I
fight.
Mean, again, the action. This is the guy that did the action on The Matrix and then went on to do yeah. co-direct John Wick and then Atomic Blonde with Charlize Theron. Like this guy knows action.
Yep.
And that's the huge benefit we get from this one is that the director knows action inside and out.
Correct. Right. Yeah, and it shows.
Yeah.
Like it's yeah, that's a very well done action flick. So he, they get out. I think the kid gives up, right?
Well, they end up.
The kid sees them
fighting,
and here's what Deadpool.
He's like,
know,
I don't give a crap about that kid. Yeah. Like whatever. Yeah. And then the kid kind of just gives up and sits in the. Oh no, he goes to make friends with the guy downstairs.
Yeah,
yep.
He takes some food and yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
I love the secret knock.
Yeah,
the way that they because the person in the jail doesn't talk, and then so
right.
he gives him the secret knock that everyone knows, and
right.
he's like, boom, boom, at
yeah,
the end, he slams it. It's great.
What were you going to say?
Obviously, he takes a thorn out of his paw.
Correct, basically. So Deadpool joins up with... This is where they start putting the team together.
Yeah.
So you've got Terry Crews.
They have tryouts.
Yeah, Terry Crews and Bill Skarsgård, Peter,
Domino.
Rob Delaney, and Domino, who was the MVP of this movie.
Yeah,
like,
I wanted more
great.
Domino.
I did, too.
She was really good.
And they realize we have to go get this kid because Cable's going to kill him. We got to stop. So they all join up. They get on the plane. Their powers are ridiculous. Like, Bill Skarsgård throws up acid puke. Yeah.
Shatterstar looks ridiculous.
Shatterstar yeah. looks exactly like yeah. the comic book version yeah. of Shatterstar.
His hair.
Hair the whole thing. Away. It's awful. So that the Bill Skarsgård is part of the Ecstatics, which was okay. a really good, weird, funky kind of Mike Allred did, like a mutant book. It was really weird. But good. But it was also called X-Force. Like, that was the... Mm. So, I think it may have been Pete Milligan, too. It doesn't matter. They get ready to go, and she's like, we're going to be called X-Force. And Domino's like, isn't that a little derivative? And he's like, yes. And then, of course, they all jump off the plane.
I love they form an X. It's so, like, yeah. it's so superhero,
it
but
great.
Making fun of itself. But it's great. They make this perfect X while they're skydiving. And then Peter is, right before he jumps off, he doesn't want to go, and he's, like, clinging to the side.
Yeah.
Peter was great.
Yeah.
Yes.
Peter was great.
Yeah, he was fantastic. Yeah. so they all jump off and they all die horribly.
Yeah.
None of them land correctly except Peter.
Yeah. And so Domino.
And Domino, right. Yeah, right. And Domino's explaining her power.
I also thought the invisible guy, you know, the Vanisher
yeah.
was great because it tryouts, you think it's a joke, but Ryan Reynolds like, he's not here, is he? And you don't see anyone.
Yeah.
So you don't know if he's actually going to be on the team.
Right.
He is, and you see the backpack with
just
the parachute
hanging there.
Just
hanging
floating.
There.
Like, that was a great joke because you're like, he's not actually going to. But no, he jumps out and it's the backpack. And then
right.
when you finally see him, no one would ever predict this, but
no.
it is Brad freaking Pitt.
Yep.
He goes into an electric line and shocks, and there he is
there
for
he is.
A second.
But nobody can land.
Yeah.
So,
The Bill Skarsgård goes into a wood chipper.
A wood chipper, and then
and Peter tries to get him out, and he's like, you're going to be okay.
And then he throws up on him and burns, like, throws
his arm off.
Burns
yeah.
his arm off. Yeah, Terry Crews, I think.
Hits a bus.
Yeah.
Smacking. He's the first one to go. Is yeah. smack right into the front of the.
Shatterstar, like, goes
helicopter.
To an airplane.
Helicopter,
that's right. Yeah.
Oh, God. I did not see this coming. I thought yeah. there was going to be, like, the one Peter death or whatever.
Nope.
The whole team, except for Deadpool and Domino.
Yep.
It's great.
And she's just like, it's just us, isn't it? And she was like,
she's like, has everyone landed? And he's like, yeah, well,
sort of.
Everyone's here.
Who could have seen yeah. this coming? Well, everyone, because of yeah. the winds.
Right. Yeah.
I also love the running gag of him just going, X-Force.
Yeah. 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 That was really good. So, there's a convoy. Like, that's what they're trying to catch up to. The convoy that has the kid on
with
it.
With Chris Christopherson?
Nope. But that's a different movie.
Yeah.
He's Whistler. That's a different whole thing altogether.
You know who directed that?
Blade?
No, Chris. Oh. No, Convoy.
No.
The movie Convoy. The no. trucker movie. From
yeah,
the,
I know the movie.
Okay. We got a big old convoy trucking on through the night.
Yeah.
Burt Reynolds.
Sam Peckinpah.
Oh.
Like, you know, that makes sense.
It's true. I think it was like, he's like, how much? Sure.
Why not?
Yeah.
I can
yeah.
do this. This is easy.
Can he truck a semi full of heads?
Can he? So yeah, so the like it's kind of like the scene there's a scene, I think it's in one of the X-Men movies, where Magneto is being transferred mm-hmm. very similarly.
I'm not sure. This is a scene from every movie where there's anyone in jail.
Oh, it's Ian McKellen.
Uh-huh.
It's X-Men 2. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where like Mystique breaks it. Yeah.
But the prison they're transferring, I didn't quite understand. So they were in the ice box, which was this big scary thing, like, oh, you're going to the ice box. And then I was like, why are they all, does anyone know where they were going? Were they going to be experimented on? Just yeah. like the whole jail of the main characters that you see are all traveling somewhere.
It was Con Air.
It was yeah. Con Air.
I was just like,
in
what?
The best kind of way.
It doesn't matter, but I'm like, where were they going? I wonder why they all transferred to another place.
Right. So you've got the kid, you've got Black Tom Cassidy, you've got the secret weapon, whatever that is going
yeah.
to be. Mm. So Cable lands, and then like it's a cool sequence where is this where Domino's we see
this
Domino's
is where we
power?
See our luck, yes. Because yeah. Yeah. Deadpool ends
so
up on
great.
A scooter, and Domino is actually lands on the truck, and he's like, you can't do that. There's
luck
no way you're gonna
power?
Yeah, there's no way you're gonna be able to land on that truck. That doesn't work. And then she does, and he tries it, and he fails terribly
right.
and just gets ran over or whatnot. And so she is like, everything is working out for her. Cable's getting tripped up, the
gun jamming.
Her superpower yeah. is she's a one woman final destination.
She
yeah.
is.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
exactly what
great.
She is.
Yeah.
And that's that's her power in the comics.
Yeah.
She's luck. It's her, and I think Longshot is also luck-based power.
Yeah.
So Deadpool gets on a red moped and is chasing down the truck.
Yeah.
She's kind of taken over the rescue, which I read was a reference to a comic book. Deadpool is on a red moped. So
sure.
it's a nice little homage
yeah.
there.
Yeah, and then so there's a fight ensues inside the truck.
Good action again.
Good, very good action. Yeah. And also, like, the director is able to pan out. It's a very tight space to begin with.
Sure.
But he's able to pan out enough and do a bunch of CG that works to give it more space.
Yeah. I mean, the truck hitting stuff and people flying around
right.
in the truck. It's a really good combination of CG and the you know,
and
shots that you can follow.
And I love the action of this movie just because, like, it's not the hyper edited.
No.
Like,
right.
it's you have a sense of where you're at in the. And
yeah.
the world
sure.
and what's
yeah.
going right. on, and it's choreographed. It's not just
exactly. It's more of a
yeah,
traditional
like
action movie.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
I
the fast cuts.
Was a big fan of the action.
Yeah, it was very well done.
It's hard watching those fast cuts. If you've seen a lot of
normally action movies bore me, especially
yeah,
right. these days, because of that, I'm just like, it's just a bunch of
quick cuts
of people punching. Like, I don't care.
Yeah,
it's like insert action here. They
yeah.
should just
yeah.
they,
well, no, like yeah. these guys. I think John Wick and Atomic Blonde, like those are some of the best action.
Well, clearly, it's
choreographed, it's rehearsed, it's practiced. Everybody went to the gym.
Yeah, that's true. There were a couple quick cuts in this, but for the most part, like I was impressed seeing Josh Brolin hold his own, like you know, and actually doing the choreographed fighting without cutting away. I'm like, wow, they learned this.
So. Yeah, so. They kill Black Tom Cassidy, and he's like, "Oh, you're! I can't believe how racist you are for killing."
Because Deadpool, he mouths off, and then Cable shoots him,
right?
And then from then on, he's Deadpool.
One of my favorite scenes in this point is Deadpool is on the back of this truck, and Cable is just unloading. Like he's gonna shoot him, and he pulls out his swords, and he stops one of them, which is the exact same scene from X-Men Origins.
Yeah,
and then he tries to stop them all, and he misses all of them.
Yeah,
and he's just riddled with bullets, and he's just like, "Ow!" And he gets back up or whatever. Then the caravan crashes, and they all kind of find
they
each
let
other,
Juggernaut loose,
and this is the Juggernaut comes out.
Yeah,
and it was just like
I like how Domino just kind of like. Falls and doesn't even
she
like,
falls into the, like the
into an
giant
inflatable
panda but she doesn't even like she just like
she knows
and she just kind of brushes
She'll
her shoulder
right.
off like
yeah,
she's like
fine.
Oh.
And then like Deadpool's leg is like a behind his
everyone else is terribly crashed
she walks away
he just walks away
she's very funny
but this is where we see the Juggernaut and this is the comic book Juggernaut and it's
did
great.
Not expect this as it, soon as I saw him,
I didn't
like, are you
it is and again just like my issue with Colossus it's like it's great for this movie but it does not fit the existing X-Men movies.
No.
That does not.
It can't.
No, it's just for this one.
No,
right?
but we see just like how we saw the X-Men, it's it's Fox just like Fox is just like whatever. And because it's like that Colossus does not fit that universe.
Juggernaut would be ridiculous
and
in these
Juggernaut
new X-Men movies.
Does not fit that universe.
It would be so ridiculous, but in Deadpool, which is ridiculous, great.
It looks great and it's great for this.
Yeah.
You know, but it's like one of those things. It's like my issue with it is like that Colossus does not fit that.
No.
Yeah.
That X-Men.
No, the Colossus
and
that
Juggernaut does not fit that X-Men.
The Colossus
but
that they have is super boring.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And although the one that we saw in the second and third one.
No. Okay. So the scene we get in the second X-Men where you see him armor up for the first time and then throw
totally
that guy
cool.
through the wall was perfect because
he
didn't talk.
Right.
He just did stuff.
Yeah.
And then in the third one, I was like, well, you suck. Yeah. Well, like, no, why don't
sucks.
You have a Russian accent?
In the,
all
third,
the things.
In the third one, everyone sucks.
That's fair. Everyone did suck.
But I mean, that's one of those things. It's like, but whatever, Fox, you know.
So they head. So basically the kid is heading to the
he's
pedo.
Going back to the SS
whatever,
Corporation.
To take out this guy. And Cable says the breakdown that we get is Cable's carrying around this teddy bear that's all burnt up.
That was the best. To me, the best line of the movie when Deadpool and Cable are standing next to each other and Deadpool's like, what's up with the teddy bear? Like, why are you carrying around a teddy bear? He's like, it was my murdered daughter that was turned to ash. And he was like,
but we find out
can
this
we go
kid,
back and redo that?
Yeah, this kid murders. Once he kills this headmaster guy that was abusing him, he goes and then starts
he gets a taste for blood.
And he starts murdering people. And one of them is Deadpool's or Cable's family. So he's gone back in time. He has two charges, which again, they mention is ridiculous. He's like, that's just bad writing. He has two charges of the time machine, one to get to the past and one to get him back home.
Right.
And so he can't waste them. And but he's there to stop the kid before he starts killing.
Yeah.
And so that is his mission. So now Cable's trying to kill him and Deadpool's like, no, I can save him. Give me time. And they're negotiating.
Well, we should say that also he's doing these flashbacks of Nessa where she's just like, you're not like your heart's not in the right place.
Right.
And she kind of references the kid, like a kid.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
because
okay, this
they want
to
have a kid. And he realizes the kid is the kid that she's referencing in this like spiritual flat, like otherworldly.
Yeah. Well, it was the other side. Like he had died and couldn't cross
couldn't
over.
Couldn't get over there because he wasn't ready yet.
Yeah.
So they,
is that what it takes not to be ready? The other,
I don't know. All that stuff was like totally. I'm like,
it was very weird.
I'm like,
it was a weird spot in the movie. So now our X-Force team is Cable, Domino, and Deadpool, and
the driver
Mohinder.
Yeah.
Who wants to be a part of the team? And Deadpool is like, "What is your power going to be?"
I love when they
bloodlust
when they put Peter on the team and he's like,
"Come on!" Yeah. During the tryouts, so there's TJ Miller is in a few scenes.
So,
he's the bar.
I wonder how much they took out.
Well, he disappears at the end.
That's what I'm
saying. Yeah, it's very small.
I think, now, if this movie really wanted to be Deadpool, they should have referenced that and thrown
they
in a
got
joke about
Plummer.
Well, no, they should have. Or that would have been good too.
Yeah,
but they should have thrown in a joke about T.J. Miller because, like, if you watch Silicon Valley, woof.
Yep.
Man,
they are not kind to that character.
Well, they didn't like him to begin with.
That's also correct.
And it shows.
Oh, but in the new season without him, they reference the character.
They reference it, and it's just.
Oh, wow.
It's
well, yeah,
awful.
They did not like him. There's a reason.
Hatred
he's gone.
For that.
He would just not show up on set and delay the shoots, and he just did not care.
Nope.
But yeah,
I don't know that they could have got away with making a joke like that because I think it would have looked like they were making fun of the accusation.
Yeah. I know.
Not,
but I mean, it seems like that's the MO. Of this,
but like Deadpool.
Yes, you're right.
Remember in the first one when he would have a Wolverine mask on?
Yeah,
I mean a Christopher Plummer mask. If they could have just secured the likeness of him and had him and digitally put a mask of Christopher Plummer, that's the Deadpool humor would have been just 110%. But
yeah,
he's in it very shortly. But he's running the bar, and Mohinder ends up working for him because he's like, well, if you want to join the team, you have to try and do like a Mr. Miyagi type thing. Yeah. So he's cleaning the floors, and so as they're enlisting the team, at the very end, they get Peter on, and he's like wiping the bathroom floor or whatever. And
right.
We should say that
the Juggernaut tears Deadpool in half.
Yeah,
like literally.
Literally. Yeah. And he was just like, I can't feel my legs. And he reaches out like, oh, there they are. And like just puts his hands on his legs that are, you know.
This was a funny scene as he's trying to regrow the legs.
Right. So he goes back to
Al's
place. And you don't really see him from the waist down.
He's just on the couch.
Right. Yeah. So Domino shows up. T.J. Miller shows up.
They all walk in and look down.
They're just like,
oh,
my God. And he's just like, all right. And then Cable walks in. Yeah. I do like where they're going on and on about Cable. And Ryan Deadpool can see behind those three characters. And he's like, he's standing right behind you, isn't he? And they all turn around. And of course, Deadpool's already seen him.
Yeah.
Like, that's the joke. Mm-hmm. So they agree. He's like, Cable says, I'll give you 30 seconds to save this kid. If you can't do it in 30 seconds, I'm going to kill him. And he was like, you want to shake on it? And he was just like, fine.
But before that, the whole time he's doing the leg crossing.
from Basic Instinct, where he's
crossing legs. And at one point, it's like, you see his wiener.
You see a baby wiener.
It's like, oh. Yeah.
But I love when he jumps off the couch and they're all just like, oh, look, he's doing it. He's walking.
He's walking,
so
really taking the steps. Yeah. And he's so short compared to Cable. And he's like, it's so awkward.
That was great. It was so good.
You see his butt hanging out, his Hawaiian
little
shirt
baby,
in the back.
Baby
like,
butt.
What the? It was a very funny scene.
That was very funny. Yeah. So, yeah, now they go, they get to the Essex Corporation. And
Essex Corporation.
Essex. ESSEX. And this is another massive fight ensues. And Deadpool's trying to get to talk to this kid. And it's just not working.
And Cable wants to kill him, and so they come to a compromise, pretty much a one-sided compromise. Cable's like, 30 seconds.
30 seconds, that's all you get.
Yeah.
And Domino, that's what she reveals. She goes, oh, now I know why I'm here, because this is where I grew up. No, I'm kidding, I was tortured.
Yeah.
So she's a former student.
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah.
It's weird, like, she just got a new comic, and I'm... Like, Gail Simone's writing it. I think Gail Simone's a fantastic writer, but they have Greg Land on art, and it's just like, no, you suck so bad. Like, you just, all you do is photo reference. You're the worst. I'm not going to pick it up.
Yeah, but she's great.
I thought it was ridiculous. Obviously, she doesn't look like the comic book version. Like, the only thing that is there is the circle around her eye, but it's just like...
She's not black in the comics, right?
No, I mean, she's not a natural color in the comics. Like it's a weird.
I think it wasn't a huge deal, but I think there was like they're casting
But she's but it's also
she's
Deadpool.
Really, really good at this.
Yeah, she captures everything about the character. Yeah.
Zazie Beetz.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who I think they even call her that. I think.
Yeah, I'm not sure. She's in Atlanta.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the fight inside the corporation ensues, and they get the kids out.
With the bus.
Where she's just like, all I need is a bus.
Yeah.
She goes up to like the top story, and it's like, how are we going to get all these kids out? And Colossus is fighting Juggernaut.
Right.
So this is the big showdown. And Deadpool is this big CGI showdown here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because the Negasonic Teenage Warhead and Colossus show up.
And
so
Yukio,
now we've got,
don't forget.
And, yeah, okay. Who is that? Is that the girl from Scott Pilgrim? Is that Eyes from Scott Pilgrim?
I don't know.
I think it is. So like now we've got an X-Force team, which is the team that I am willing to bet
Did you like that Sun's Going Down big guy reference?
I thought it was great.
When I saw it happening, I'm like, please reference Hulk in this.
Sun's getting real low,
and,
big guy.
And he does, and I'm like, that is so good.
But I think this is... I don't think there's going to be a Deadpool 3. I think it's going to be an X-Force movie.
Yeah. We'll see.
Like, that's what I think the Deadpool 3 will be, is like the
team
movie.
Oh, okay,
movie.
I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. But it depends if Disney gets Marvel and ties them into the MCU. And will we not see it anymore, Deadpool, super rated R, like this universe?
I think we will. I think they won't let it touch X-Men.
Yeah.
And I think X-Force will happen, but I don't think
X-Men's
going to
happen. You have to be careful how they do it. Yeah, because you want those characters, but then...
Yeah, but I just don't think they will, because...
I think you can move Deadpool in as like... maybe have like a cameo or something, or you know, reference the Deadpool.
It's tough because if you tie him in, he can't be that Deadpool, and right. Then it's like, well, exactly. Why do you have a Deadpool?
But
well,
you could bring him in on a PG-13 movie and have his jokes be about the fact that he's in a PG-13 movie.
Yeah,
that disrupts the flow of that movie
and the fourth wall stuff. And right. I just think it's like totally is not going to.
Yeah,
happen. I don't think it's going to happen.
If Disney gets Fox and Comcast doesn't snake it, I feel like Disney is going to have to keep Deadpool if they keep it going under the Fox umbrella. Like
you could do it on. Well, that's I
mean,
see
just like
saying.
They True. Do with yeah, that's Buena fair. Vista yeah. or whatever. I mean, it's like you. Disney will not release Deadpool. It will have to be a second company. It's not their brand. Right, they will not do it. So it will be interesting to see how that all plays out.
And I don't think Disney will allow Fox to slip away.
How could they not? Comcast's like, we'll give you another $5 billion. Okay, Disney's like six.
Disney's like, we'll
whatever.
Give you 10.
I mean, how? Our, after
guess
all
what?
This,
we're going to make two movies. It's going to make $10 billion dollars. Don't even worry.
Did
about
you guys
it.
Hear that? That Comcast has
this
offered
putting together
another
a cash deal.
Yeah. But it comes with a bonus, because the reason Comcast was out of the running was because they thought the FCC would interfere because of Comcast television holdings and everything, and where they thought, well, Disney doesn't have the same amount of stuff that Comcast does, so it will go through. And so Comcast is like, we'll throw in an extra $6 billion to handle fighting, convincing the FCC or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like, after all this, and Disney finally almost has all their X-Men characters, the Fantastic Four, they're going to get all their Marvel stuff back. Mm-hmm. Is there any chance in hell that they won't offer whatever
they
it takes?
They also get Star Wars back.
No, they get all the Star Wars stuff back. That's right.
Right, because Fox is the home video.
That's true.
There's just no way they won't let it happen.
They're like, we'll give you the rights to Mickey Mouse. We don't even care at this point.
We don't use it anymore.
Yeah, right. So, big fight ensues.
It's good.
Get the kids out. And Deadpool is having a conversation with this kid.
Is this where he gets all dirty and he gets the X-Force uniform, I think?
No.
Are we not to...
Oh, we might be. We are. You're right. You're right.
So, like, the Juggernaut is totally throwing Deadpool around. He's going through buildings and getting all dirty, and he ends up getting, like, just dust, like white dust all over his suit, and it's almost completely turning him to the black and white, the gray X-Force outfit. And so I thought that was clever. You could still see some red showing through, but for the most part, he was
that
black and white. Yeah, it was cool.
So
gray and black, really, but yeah, it's cool.
So he puts on the power dampener, and he kind of sacrifices himself for this kid, and he kills him. Like, he gets killed. Deadpool, the collar's on. He gets murdered.
He realizes to finally cross over and be with Nessa that this is what he's going to have to do.
He's got
to
save this. He's got to show this kid that he is worth being saved.
Yeah.
And he'll do it. He's been wanting to die this whole movie. So he does.
And Cable can stop his family from being killed, but then it won't help Deadpool in his mission. So it's like he's got to save the kid for Nessa and also stop Cable's family from being killed.
Right. Yeah, so he goes and he sees Nessa, and
I like the dying scene where he almost dies like six times.
Yeah.
I mean, which is just a great commentary on every death scene where someone can spout out the most prolific last words.
He's
and
like,
then
this is taking a lot longer than I thought.
Yeah. And I bet there's a lot of nice improv from Ryan Reynolds.
Sure.
It'll be funny to see, hopefully, outtakes and deleted scenes. But you know that he just kept going on and on about random things as he woke up.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff that he was saying.
But this is an emotional beat, again, which, like, this stuff, I think, was handled really well done. I felt at times, I mean, it was jarring because it's not the movie you're watching, but they handle it well, where I'm like...
They give Deadpool a little bit of it, just odd.
But it's like, are they going to get funny here? It's like, when's the joke going to drop? And it's like, no, these are straight emotional beats.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And Ryan Reynolds crosses over, and he looks like Ryan Reynolds. He's healed now. He's about to...
And she says,
nope,
it's not your time yet.
No.
So he jumps back, and... No. What is? How does he get back?
No, he dies. He dies.
He dies, but Cable.
That's what it is. That's right. So Cable uses his one.
The teddy bear is good. So he knows back. That he saved
right.
his family. But then he's looking at his time travel device and he's like, crap. Like, he, this is the first time, because Cable is so much like, I'm here for a mission. You know, you're annoying.
Right.
You know, and they play that up the whole time.
I love them together.
Yeah.
Like, the hope that there is a Cable, like, X-Force movie with Cable and Deadpool in it is fun.
I will say right now,
so much fun.
Josh Brolin, so good as Cable, so badass, right. looks
James
awesome.
Brolin. No,
yeah, give me any Cable. Like, mm-hmm. I want to see more Cable.
I don't want to see a solo Cable movie. Mm. I think that would be a little outside of the tone of these flicks.
But do the team stuff, do the X-Force, whatever. But give me more of that, though, because I was impressed with how cool he looked.
Yeah, he looked awesome. And it's funny, like, how good he looked for this movie. You know, they joke about the mustache in Justice League. And it's just like, it's amazing what you can do.
Wait, they weren't editing out a mustache.
No. But they reference. It's not like he's like, it's not like you're editing out a mustache.
Oh,
like,
right. Gotcha. So I'm like, wait a minute, he didn't film that with a mustache. I'm like, if they did,
it's
kudos.
It is ridiculous how good and how, like, it's almost like the Winter Soldier arm.
Yeah.
Like, there's
the arm and
it
the
looks
chest.
Perfect.
I mean, you can't tell that it's CG.
And
like,
then
it's really well done.
Just like, we're just going to lower his lip and make his nose shorter, I guess. I don't know.
So Cable uses his last charge.
Right.
Instead of going home, he actually goes back. And
to the
it's cool how
the
they
fight.
Do this, because he doesn't go back and just move him out of the way, or he doesn't do something that simple. He takes the coin, which was the Chekhov's gun. You know, he's like, oh, it's pure lead or high quality lead.
Yep.
And so he goes back and he like gives him a little pat on the chest. Deadpool, a pat on the chest, and then Deadpool like is like, huh?
He's like, what are you doing?
Yeah. But he plants the ski ball token on
and
his chest.
It stops the bullet.
Yeah.
Deadpool doesn't die.
The kid's still saved.
The family's
saved,
but now Cable's stuck. Yeah.
But Deadpool, like, you think he lands in the same spot and looks dead, but he's like, oh, and he gets right up.
Pulls out the bullet. Yeah. So then that's kind of where it ends.
But like, he says, you used your last charge or whatever. He's like, I'm going to stick around. I know they're safe, so I'm going to make sure. Because Cable references that the world has gone to crap, like nuclear war, like people destroy the Earth.
Right.
And so he's like,
you people. He's like, you're dead. Like, you're not even a thing anymore.
Like, I'm going to make sure that the Earth is protected.
Right.
Although it was like, so you'll save your family, you just won't spend time with them?
So that's kind of where that ends.
He says, you saved me. You did that for me. And he's like,
no, I didn't.
No.
But yeah, so we've got our X-Force team, which is Deadpool, Colossus,
Cable. Well, and the chief of facilities gets taken care of.
He does get taken care of.
Well, the whole time I was thinking, if they want to stop this kid from killing, why didn't they just kill the guy?
Thank you.
Yeah.
The whole time I was like, somebody else just
I just thought they were
going to
get close and just
like
be like,
Cable,
boom,
just, well,
bam, now you can't.
That's why I thought Deadpool was eventually going to, you know, he's trying to save the kid and it would come down to, I'll just kill him. And then it's not you, but... You know, I think the main point is the kid had to see that people cared about him, and so it was a little more complicated.
Yeah,
it was nice,
but they still killed.
They do. Yeah, it's don't worry.
He gets hit by a car.
The cab. Mohinder shows up and hits him with the cab.
Yes,
and he says, "I heard you coming. I just couldn't keep it.
Yeah,
I just
stall
him."
Which is the great. Yeah, there's just the great joke, because Roy's like the T-Rex in Jurassic Park. Like, how do you not hear that coming? And everything. And Deadpool's like, "Yeah, I heard you.
I heard you coming." So we get our X-Force team, which is Cable, Deadpool, Colossus, Negasonic Teenage Warhead, Yukio, and Domino.
Hi, Wade.
Yeah.
Hi, Yukio.
Hi, Yukio. I like where she's like, don't encourage him.
Yeah. She does. Yukio does show her powers one time.
Right.
She's something against Juggernaut or whatever.
She uses kind of storm
she
powers.
She electrocutes the water so they could throw him in with a thing up his butt.
There you go. That was something. And then you just like, they just show the water and the bubbles and everything for like a minute.
Right.
I'm like, that is.
So there are some post-credit sequences.
So the best post-credit sequences probably of all time.
I would think so.
I thought the post-credit sequences were probably my favorite jokes of the entire movie.
So
the post-credit sequences and Domino's like sort of Rube Goldberg finale were like my favorite parts of this movie.
Yeah.
But I laughed at these post-credit sequences just as much, if not more. I mean, I enjoyed the movie, but I'm like, those were gold.
Yes.
Because like they go and Negasonic
is working on the Cable's
the time control. Yeah.
Right. And he's like, are you done with it? She's like, well, maybe. Like, I don't know if it really works. He's like, cool. And he takes it and she's just like, I feel like I've done something really bad. This can't be good.
So Deadpool goes back and starts fixing Ryan Reynolds' entire career.
Well, he saves Nessa.
Yeah.
Which would negate the entire movie.
Right. Which that is Katie. I saw this movie with Katie, and afterwards, you know, Katie's thinking about it. She goes, well, if they don't kill Nessa, why would they all travel back?
Right.
I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. So, okay. True. All right. Then we go to the scene where we see Deadpool. In X-Men Origins
Deadpool,
and it's the whole like he shows up and then all of a sudden
Wolverine's standing there in the room. Clearly it's the footage from that movie.
It is. He's like, they finally found a way to shut you up.
Yeah. And our Deadpool, you see him from off screen, shoots that Deadpool, and he walks in and then he just like shoots him 100 times.
And did he say you'll thank me later?
I don't know.
He says something.
He's just looking at Wolverine, and Wolverine's staring back at him, and he's just like, you're welcome, or whatever.
And then we cut to Ryan Reynolds,
fresh faced Ryan Reynolds. He goes,
I do like the best part is where he's holding a script. We all know what the script is. Yeah. And he's just like, you made it to the big time, kid. And then all of a sudden his brains are splattered all over the Green Lantern script. And,
so good.
Yeah. And was there another one?
These scenes are genius.
That was just those three.
I can't remember if there was one after that, but those were
the three.
Yeah.
So good. And it wraps up, and I enjoyed it. I loved this movie. I did think it was a little heavy-handed.
I thought it was funny. I thought it was fun with it.
I thought it was a perfect follow-up to the first one.
I really liked it, but I just feel it's so hard to capture lightning in a bottle twice, and I felt like
they captured like a spark.
No, it was fun, but it's like they were trying so hard to go fast and furious and throw in everything, and it was so meta. I've never seen a more meta self-referential movie in my life.
Yeah.
And like it was hit or miss at time. More hit than miss, but for me it was a little much. But I enjoyed it. It was entertaining.
No, it was a lot of fun. If this is their last, if this is Fox's last X-Men movie, it's a pretty good one to go out on.
Better than alternative.
I mean, I don't know if that Days of Future. No, what are they calling it? Dark Phoenix. I don't know if that's coming out. I have no idea.
I think they have to
they
just
have
because
not
it's
earned that story.
Nope, I agree. Yeah. That so okay. My hope is Marvel gets that property, and they do the Marvel deal with it. And they take their time and they build that team. They build that story. And that, to me, that's your fifth X-Men movie.
Yeah.
Sophie Turner, too, is just not good as Jean Grey.
I'd agree. I mean, they've yet to cast a good Jean Grey.
I think
Fomka was better than
that. I mean,
way better.
Between Fomka and Sophie Turner, yeah.
But they also, they just haven't earned any of her turn. We just barely saw her, and the next thing you know, she's like Dark Phoenix. That's a leap.
Well, all of a sudden she was the Phoenix.
Because it's 10 year time jumps, you know, and it's like we don't get that 10 years of stories to care about Dark Phoenix.
Yeah, Jean Grey is one of my favorite X-Men characters. Like, I have a tattoo of Phoenix on my arm.
We should also mention that Cable is the son of Scott Summers and Jean Grey's clone.
Okay, good call. Yeah. Yes, she is. He's the son of Scott's in an alternate future. Scott Summers and Madeline Pryor have a child. There's also Rachel Summers, who I'm pretty sure is the child of Scott and Jean from Days of Future Past. And it's just like, okay, you could do anything. Like, there's so many. The X-Men are a tough property to, how would you describe it? To boil it down to a base.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because there's so much. Like in
it's
that
why
world,
I never read it is because
it's
it was
tough.
It's hard to jump on, and I was just like, eh.
You, I mean, try.
See, I read it when it was. I read the original,
right,
and then I also read it when the new, you know, when
the
it
new team.
Was it 93?
Issue 93? The like X Men Blue and X Men Gold
when it first.
So there was Uncanny X Men, which was like Jean Grey and Bishop
and
Storm.
They first introduced. The new, you know, the John Byrne, Terry Austin, Claremont
that was
era.
Yeah, it was at Giant X-Men number one.
But at that point, that was it.
Right.
So
you had one team. Your original X-Men were gone.
There were no extended.
Yeah.
There was one series. So
you should
only
honestly,
and it was really, really good.
Look at it. The teams now are nuts.
Yeah.
So like you've got one team of the original X-Men from the 60s who are time displaced. You've got. Logan,
that's
right? Like, that's it's nuts. It's you've got three books, X-Men Gold, X-Men Blue, and X-Men Red, right? So X-Men Blue is the misplaced X-Men with Storm, who was a vampire version of Storm and the son of Wolverine from the alternate universe.
I'm already glazing over.
Yeah, exactly. See, that's why I stopped.
Like that, so I've dropped them all. Like, yeah. I was reading them at one point, but it's just like, can I just get like the X-Men?
See, that's what I, and that's what I read. I you know, had a subscription to it.
Sure.
And it was all, and that was leading before Days of Future Past, and that's what came out, like, that was delivered to my house.
X-Men,
I mean, so
Gold,
all of that.
X-Men Gold is
all of that before all of this happened.
Right. X-Men Gold is like Colossus and Kitty Pryde and Bobby Drake. Like, it's the X-Men.
Right.
That's the one that I enjoy. But yeah, it's hopefully if Disney pulls this out, I would love to see them leave Deadpool alone, let Deadpool and X-Force do its own thing, and take their time, build that story, build that franchise, and then you can introduce them.
And you can make a lot of money while you're building it.
Oh yeah.
Like, that's what I don't get. Like,
lots of
telling
money.
Telling that story right away is costing you money ultimately.
We see what happens when you earn it. Infinity War.
That's what I'm saying.
And you can make a lot of movies leading up to it that will also make money. Like, I don't get it.
Nope.
Yeah. This movie, I enjoyed this movie, but it was like the deluxe pizza where, like, there were certain things I'm like, I don't want this.
Yeah, it's still good if you picked them all.
It's a rare situation where I like it more than anybody else.
You liked it. Yeah, because I was just like, yeah, there's some stuff in here I'd take out. And it also, there's parts of there are certain times it's like, you know, you ever have that friend who says like things and then they're like, I'm just kidding. This felt like that a lot. It's like when they said that, though, here comes the big CGI battle. It's like, yeah, but, and you made fun of it, but yeah, it's Liz.
Right.
And that's how I felt. I was like, I don't know.
I get it. It was okay. It was a lot of fun.
I did enjoy it, but afterwards I was like, I wish I had more Domino. Yeah. Honestly, if you had more Domino and a little bit shorter, I would have been.
Yeah,
like, yeah, I do think they could have shaved 15 minutes off of it.
I agree.
It would have been fine.
Yeah, because I was like, there's no reason this needs to be 2 hours.
Right.
No, not at all.
Yeah. So, Dan, do you have a video recovery for us?
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because this movie reminded me of another two that I saw and at the time I thought it was great. And now I rewatched it recently and I was like, well, that was kind of, it doesn't. You know, I don't know how I feel about it now. Is Predator 2.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Gremlins 2.
No, I love Gremlins 2. Gremlins 2, I think, is superior.
Yeah, it's totally different.
Yeah, it's very, well, also very self-referential. Yes. And it kind of makes fun of the first one.
Yeah.
No, this one is...
It was Abraham Lincoln's birthday.
Oh, my God.
Awesome.
No, if you've never seen Predator 2, you know, they basically took the stuff that people loved in the first one and amplified it.
This is Danny Glover.
Danny Glover. Yeah. And Ruben Blades and Bill Paxton, young Bill Paxton. That movie's, cause I was like, when did this come out? Cause I remember seeing it in the theaters, 28 years old, which is just
like 92. Is that when it came
90.
out? 90. Okay.
90. Because it's set in the future. It's set in 1997, Los Angeles.
Gotta love that.
And so they've got like the gangs and everything, and it's like all over the top, and Morton Downey Jr.'s in it, and it's just like,
I forgot about that.
Oh yeah, and it's just so bizarre to see like what they considered the over the top violent future of 1997 Los Angeles, where you're like, oh, that's
yeah, that would have been quaint.
I wish we would have had that.
Yeah,
but I mean, it's so weird when you watch it because it's like, and it's got Gary Busey as some shadowy government guy.
Yeah,
it's yeah, it's one of those ones where it's like now you're like they were putting all of the stuff in that people loved and it just doesn't.
Well, even is the first movie I think that I could think of where it was like they hinted at crossing universes.
That's the movie, and that's the thing that makes that whole movie is just that end scene, the last basically 5 minutes.
Alien.
Yeah.
Oh, so they reference
so
that?
They he gets yeah. Danny Glover has the big battle at the end, and they get on the alien ship, and then he like there's the skulls.
Yep. Yeah, you see like the trophy room
he's
of the Predator.
He's got a xenomorph.
No way.
And they dropped
back in.
He's got a xenomorph skull.
And there's a xenomorph skull.
Oh, that's awesome. I forgot.
And
it's
people
been so
went
and it was
crazy.
Just thrown in there, and it was thrown in as a gag.
Yeah, it was just a
and it became
and people
aliens versus Predator.
It was on the level of
because of that
the end of the last Friday the 13th movie.
Yeah.
Where it's just like Jason's mask is sitting in the dirt and then all of it, like literally it, you're just like, okay, movie's over. And then all of a sudden Freddy's glove pops up and pulls the mask underground.
Cool.
Yeah. But it was just like,
yeah,
what?
Yeah.
Like these are in the same world
that, and you know, dozens of other Predators show up
right,
too.
Right.
Cause you're kind of like,
but they let him go.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's like, well, that's, what are they going to do?
What
now?
Happens?
Oh, but then we also get to learn like the backstory a little bit of like they've been coming to the planet for, you know, for hundreds of years. So, I mean, it's one of those things where it's like that basically ends up making the movie kind of work. But it's just
a train wreck of a movie.
Ridiculous. Yeah. Over the top.
Kind of like what was that last M. Night Shyamalan movie?
The Split.
Split. There we go.
Well, that was.
Yeah,
the
I mean,
other
it was
one
kind. Of, it's. I mean, it's a similar. Like, I think people like that movie more than they would have because of that final scene.
Yep. I'm absolutely. I was like the thing that made me like that movie is those last 5 minutes.
Yeah, and yep. I think Predator 2 kind of does the same thing that people were like, it's okay.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, that's exactly what it is.
And then they go and make two awful movies.
Yeah. And you had to wait like 20 years for them.
That's right.
And so now, and Shyamalan, you're on notice, man, because I love Unbreakable. And Unbreakable is almost like the exact opposite of Deadpool 2.
Yeah. That's true.
In every way.
Yeah.
It's like completely the opposite.
That's
where it's like,
year,
you don't even
it?
Know. Yeah. And it's like, good luck because you are on watch because I want to see how he handles.
I saw that poster.
That.
And it's got all of them on the poster.
Yeah. But I want to see how he handles that now in the age of the Marvel.
I think you put her front and center
franchise.
Yeah,
that's
we'll
what I,
see
that's what
because
do.
I'm just like, man, yeah. How is he gonna?
Unbreakable is great.
It is, and it's like how is he going to
merge those two worlds,
balance it,
especially in today?
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. You know,
oh, I hope Bruce Willis is awake.
I feel
think
like
he will be.
I don't think he would attend. I think he's proud of that movie and he doesn't want to besmirch it.
I agree.
Yeah. Although you'd have thought of that about, you know,
Die Hard.
But I mean, he's 6 in. When he's making Unbreakable 6, he might feel that way.
Yeah, that's true.
But, you know, so, well, thank you, Dan.
Yep, my pleasure.
So, I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter, DanGraney67, GRANEY.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts, BUTTS21.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at KevinRBrackett or on ReviewSTL.com.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. If you want to find the show online, you can do it in a myriad of places. You can find us on iTunes where you can rate, review, subscribe. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, join the League of Show Sharers. Don't forget, we have a Patreon account now. So if you want to go there and kick in, you'll get all sorts of extra bonus content. Patreon.com/Real Spoilers. And of course, on Twitter at Real Spoilers. So that's it for this episode. Coming up next week, Han Solo.
Yeah.
So
could go one of two ways.
Yes. Well, that's pretty much true of every film.
Or it could be like, man. It could be like,
every
that's
movie
really good.
Ever.
It's bad. Or it's like, that's whatever.
It's a musical.
Yeah, right.
So,
I'm so pissed.
So that's what you have to look forward to. So thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Parallax is pulled into the sun.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.